Bloomington, News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. The In the Zone Radio program, Wednesday, August 10, 2016. Thank you for making us a part of your evening time tonight. There's Terry Stultz.
Michael.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Great.
Kids are back in school.
Yes.
First day.
I know that's good in the glass cocktail household.
Half of the household, that's exactly right. But half is better than the not the other half. So, yep, Maria survived day one, had a great time. I fell asleep on the car ride after school. So they are doing their job quite well, in my opinion.
Perfect.
Get everybody worn out and ready because just 179 more to go, just like this one. And
that's right.
We'll have another one in the books.
But hey, we got a birthday shout-out tonight. We don't normally do that. But
we can do anything we want.
Lynette Marshall, happy birthday. That's Kelly's mom. We got to keep all the moms happy.
Oh, wow, that's right. Start
there. So happy birthday. I hope you had a great one. And so there's our social calendar of school.
Yes, we got it all.
Birthdays out of the way. We're good to go.
Exactly right. So keep your eyes open out there, obviously, with heavier traffic at different parts of the day. Give yourself some extra time. And then this weekend we'll have the student population, at least in the dorm style, start moving in at some point. And then next Monday is the 15th when I would guess some leases get a start as well. And before you know it, we'll be talking about football games instead of preseason games and football results instead of preseason camp news and notes. But that's what we'll be doing today. We'll also touch on the Olympics, another medal for the Hoosiers as springboard, 3-meter synchronized diving. That doesn't fit on the business card, does it? Doesn't matter. As Michael Hixon adds his name to the history books in Rio and adds his history name to the history books here at Indiana University with his silver medal. So congratulations. We'll touch on that. Baseball and the men's basketball team gets going tonight. And Terry and I will have a few words about that because I'm not even sure why they, let them play until the why don't they just put them in the medal round? It gives somebody one more chance to get into the medal, to qualify for the medal round. But
they had to go and tick us off.
That's exactly right, and that seems to be the MO here at the Olympics. Talk a little trash, and if you can't back it up, well, it doesn't matter because you're not being talked
about. They tried it in 72 and 76. Quinn Buckner, Scott May, and the boys took care of business.
72, they were robbed, which is
that's what started it.
Those silver medals are still, I believe, in a Berlin vault in the basement collecting dust.
And in 80, Jimmy Carter put a squelch on that one.
That's
and,
right. Coach Knight took care of 84.
84, 88, we lose, and we got ticked off.
And then
we decided
put the pros in just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else.
And then they realize we invented the game, and it's no longer fair anymore after that. So a busy program for you today. The Colts will be in action right here on these airwaves coming up on Saturday night. They travel to Buffalo for their first official non-canceled preseason game of the 2016 preseason. They were going to have five games. We know about Sunday's turf incident, which led to the cancellation on all of that. They've been fighting some weather up in Anderson trying to get these last days of practice in, and they'll be ready to go off to Buffalo for Saturday. We'll have pregame coverage for you here at 7 o'clock. I'm guessing the kick's just after 8 then, usually an hour for pregame on the Colts statewide radio network. We're your exclusive home for Colts football, though, here in Monroe County. But when we get into week one of the preseason, Terry, well, it's technically week two. The Colts have had some extra practice time that should help them get moving. But this isn't going to be Andrew Luck 20-27 for four touchdowns and playing 3.5 quarters. That's not going to be the case. My guess is they'll take a series, maybe two, if they go a quick three and out, something just to get some rhythm, just to have the pads pop from another set of folks. The only thing in the preseason I think that is tangible for NFL teams are position battles between guys that aren't asset value players, for lack of a better term. They all have their value, there's no doubt about it, but you've got a roster of, 90 that needs to be cut down to 53 before the season starts. So there's going to be a cut or two. So really it's an open audition for guys, and it's a chance as well to let them see how they play when the TV cameras are rolling, when the lights are on, and against competition where they're not going to know the plays or they're not going to know what everything's been set through. So going into the weekend with the Colts, I think you're going to look at a couple things. Is the offensive line put together? Now you're not going to see a lot of that, but what I'm going to look for is who's playing on the second team and who's getting some snaps, because those are the guys, if they have any issues with Ryan Kelly's shoulder. If they have any problems with having to move Joe Wright's out of tackle, if they have any issues with that, who's going to be that next line of players that's happening? And also, they've been banged up in the secondary a little bit. We know Mike Adams has missed some time. We've seen guys in and out, on and off. You need to have defensive backs in this league. Not a lot of teams run it right down your throat and win football games. So that's what sticks out for me on a Saturday night.
Yeah, no problem. It's looking for guys, number one, that to add to the depth chart of the lines, especially the defensive line. You know, there are going to be some guys, but most of those guys that we're probably going to see a lot of Saturday night are going to be just hoping to catch on, get a job, make the special teams. Maybe somebody locked themselves into the fourth or fifth receiver, you know, stuff like that, and nickelback here and there. But
special teams jobs will be up for grabs as well. The more you can do, the more value you provide, the better you'll be. Good news from Colts camp yesterday was that Henry Anderson, who tore his ACL last year, was out and about getting after drills, doing some stuff, which is a little bit ahead of schedule. So the Colts, again, should be happy about that, as they need all the defensive line help they can get. And bad news is that Kendall Langford will be out 3 to 4 weeks as he had his knee scoped. So that's not good. Zach Kerr will take his reps on all of that. So Langford's never missed a game in his career. So if you're thinking this is an injury problem or an issue that's been lingering, that hasn't been the case. And that's why it's a little tougher to deal with. Joe Wright's was day-to-day yesterday. Kelly's back. So, again, guys in and out. The knee scope for Langford's a good thing, because knee scopes this day and age are awfully, awfully common, and they're not going to put you on the shelf, Terry, for an extended period of time, where it's hopefully a cartilage cleanup. I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night. I'm not playing that. That's usually what these involve, where it's a discomfort, where you remove the discomfort, and then you get yourself back into action.
Yeah, that 3 to 4 is probably accurate. It could take another 2 after that to blow the cobwebs out of it and get rid of scar tissue, and actually for him to be comfortable, I'll bet you it's 6 weeks before he stops worrying about it. But that's just the next 4 weeks of preseason and a couple early games. So hopefully it works out, because he's never had an injury problem.
No, and again, getting in shape, that'll be the key. Getting back into football shape will be part of it. But good news on the Henry Anderson front. That never hurts anything where you can get him. He's played a ton of minutes before he got hurt as a rookie. We know David Perry, his buddy from Stanford, also played all 16 games last year. So you have some bodies in there, but it would be nice to have everybody at 100%. That doesn't happen in the NFL, if you notice that. It doesn't happen. Very rarely does it. But usually those teams that do that are playing in the conference championships and or the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, because if you have your full complement of players, you're ahead of somebody else, because that's not usually what happens. The other angle we'll be looking at on Saturday, there's no doubt about it, will be the running back position. Frank Gore, we know, is getting up there in age. We don't think that Gore per se can't do it anymore, but multiple positions. You can't go with one guy. How many teams are using exclusively one running back? There's going to have to be somebody else that can pass block. There's going to have to be somebody else that can help on third and long. There's going to have to be somebody else if Gore gets banged up, nicks up, or keeps fumbling. I mean, that, folks, that happens. A lot of guys that have never fumbled their whole life start to fumble, and
it cost the Colts a game last year.
Well, maybe that, you know, the Jets momentum game, and another one.
The Jets game
sure
at home,
put that up.
You're right. And then the momentum and another one, and well, you know, that's two games, and all of a sudden that team's 10-6 and wins a division instead of being 8-8 and out of the playoffs.
The other issue on that is when you have a guy, you don't fumble anymore until you don't fumble anymore. So that's the other thing. He's got to earn back, and he will, because he's a veteran and he's been around it and done it. But the Colts, if they have a better offensive line, if they can have a two-back system where they don't have to beat Gore up, that's going to be the next thing. Who's going to take over that? A couple journeymen at that position. They signed Josh Ferguson from the University of Illinois, an undrafted free agent, and gave him a contract. So they're really high on that guy.
Must be.
So we're going to see, and that's what you're going to see on Saturday night. So the Colts and Buffalo right here on WGCL. Saturday night, pregame starts at 7. That's the first of 4 Indianapolis Colts preseason games, and then a surprise to nobody, the Green Bay game will not be rescheduled. There's no time, there's no space, there's no nothing on the calendar to do that. I'm not sure why that question was being asked, but I would. it jumps out there, and you think, well, we'll just play it on a Tuesday night up in Fort Wayne. That's not going to happen. So Colts 4 preseason games. We'll have all of them next 3 Saturdays, and then the final one is the Thursday. I'll give them a 10-day break before opening night here on the radio, and we'll take care of that and take a look at their schedule. We'll do that next. 6:16, you're in the zone. All right, Terry and Glass in the zone here on a Wednesday night. 812-333-2665. Getting ready for the Colts and the Bills coming up on Saturday night, 7 o'clock pregame. Right here on WGCL, your exclusive home for Colts football in Monroe County. So you can catch all the pregame, postgame, and everything else every preseason, every regular season, and hopefully, Terry, a yes. return to the playoffs this year with a healthy Andrew Luck. Underneath center, Colts practice today for a bit. They got 90 minutes in with the inclement weather. That's not helping an afternoon practice. It's just kind of interesting that they scheduled it at that time because we know in Indiana, usually in the afternoon is when the stuff gets going on. But what you need to know after today's practice, looking ahead to the weekend, this is from the Colts. Obviously, Terry and I weren't up there. We work for a living. offensive line, had Ryan Kelly taking more reps. That's the good news. And Wright's return to practice after missing yesterday. The more time this unit's together, Terry, number one, you've got a rookie at center. So he's got the ball in his hands every single play. He's probably calling the line assignments, the blocking assignments, just like every other center does. But he got to get into a rhythm and a flow. And missing a couple here, and then this guy misses a couple there. We know it hasn't worked the last couple of years. Andrew Luck has been the most hit quarterback by a mile in the National Football League during the regular season because he hasn't had that cohesion in the offensive line. So they will be in addition to those two. Denzel Good is still at right guard. Hugh Thornton's still in a boot. Hugh Thornton's been hurt since the day he's been a Colt. I don't think that's going to surprise anybody. Jonathan Harrison's going to back up Kelly. Again, not a surprise. Rookie Joe Haig will be backing up Joe Wrights if necessary. So, again, young guys, Kelly and Haig have to find a way. Kelly's not going anywhere, but he's got to get in the rhythm of an NFL game. And they must think highly of Haig if they're going to throw him in right off the go.
That's what heard a lot on Indianapolis station this afternoon was they just think this guy's just killing it so far. Not sure if he – yeah, he was drafted, wasn't he? But
yeah.
He has just come out of nowhere and really surprised some people. Let's face it, you know, the last couple of years –
fifth-round pick, North Dakota State. That's right. That's not why it rolls off your head.
No. North Dakota State's a Division II or the one BCS, whatever that other
one is.
The one right below
us. And they win all the time.
And they win national championships.
So they get an experienced lineman from that program.
Yeah.
Very similar to having a very experienced lineman from one of the best rushing programs and blocking programs and everything else. The NFL light Alabama Crimson Tide. That's where Kelly came from. That's why you're putting some stuff together. And the line is going to be the key because you hear everybody talk about it. You can't just be one-dimensional. You heard the Hoosiers talking about that when the Big Ten Network was in town on Monday. You heard Coach Johns talking about it yesterday. And the Colts are the same way. If Andrew Luck's going to drop back the pass 50 times, run all those stats. Run all the stats when Peyton Manning had to throw 50 times. It's not 10-2. If it's anything, it's the opposite because usually in the NFL, when you've got to chuck it that many times, what are you doing?
You're losing,
and you got to conserve the clock, and you can't. Nobody cares when it's 28 to 10 if you're running the ball. You can have all the yards you want because the clock keeps on moving. But if that line doesn't keep Andrew Luck upright, there's no Matt Hasselbeck, right? Is he gone? No. Did he finally retire?
Yeah, he's gone.
Did a nice job, but there's not guys you're going to win with at this level. And if you have to throw the ball and he's back there all day and he can't find anybody, again, that's going to set up the Colts. And if the Colts' defensive line with the nicks and injuries they have can't stop anybody.
Well, and right now.
There's a lot of people, Terry, that think this team's only going to win 6 games.
Well, I don't. I think
you're not one of them.
Not one of them, but there are some parts in the schedule if we don't get off to the good start because we do have the capability that the early schedule get off to a good start because there's some rough ones midway through the schedule there. But, you know, hey, we don't have the luxury of Matt Hasselbeck this year, so they darn well better keep Andrew Luck erect and prone and not falling down.
Clean in the pocket, as the kids like to say.
There you go. Exactly.
Kids in the pocket, as the kids say.
So, I mean, if they don't and he suffers another injury – you're not going to see a 5-3 record with whoever backing up this time.
I wouldn't think so, but again, you don't even want to mess with that right now. You want to survive these preseason games. You want to get through them, and you want to give guys a chance to make their name. You want to get, again, the rookies some reps. You want to get that second running back some reps. You want to see what guys can do when they're uncomfortable, when they know it's not, hey, okay, three steps and the drill's over. This is not drill. This is plan. This is all obviously going to be taped, and what's going on. Everybody knows they're fighting for a job, and that's the other part that you can lead guys to water, but you can't make them drink. You got to see what they can do in these situations on television, and then you go watch a film, because it's game film and drill film is completely different. There are some guys that practice wonderfully. Some of the great practice players. Todd Lindemann was, from everybody I've ever talked to, was the greatest center in the history of college basketball. And when you flip the lights on during the game, everybody wonders what happened. And that's no different in the NFL. But guys are fighting for jobs. They're already behind a week in their game preparations. They've already had the run-up stop. Well, let's try it again. So it's not going to be comfortable for them, and we understand that. But
Rick Venturi said this afternoon, as a coach, I'd rather have half of a preseason game than 2 weeks of preseason camp practice.
Yep.
Because once I get something on film, I've got something to work with.
And that's the whole deal. That's where you can get things better. That's where you can teach. That's where you can do all that. So Colts, again, getting ready for Buffalo coming up on Saturday, and that's what is going to be game number one. They're going to play Saturday, and then Thursday. All games are at 7 o'clock. So we got 7 o'clock on our clock up there. We're just going to stick with that, Terry, and I'll get with Joe and figure out if we got any pregame going for that, because I'm looking at the Colts schedule right here, and it says Colts and Bills, 7 p.m. on Saturday, and then 7 p.m. the following Saturday, and the Saturday after that. And then maybe, September 1st.
Yeah, maybe a 6 o'clock pregame.
Might be a little earlier pregame.
Better knock that down.
And we'll check that out. Make sure you get that back to you so you know what's going on with all of that. 626 at WGCL. And the Colts opponents, which aren't going to matter in any of this, but they're going to play the Ravens. So a Harbaugh will be out and about. And then that's going to be their first home game, followed by the Eagles. And then it's off to the Bengals. They always wrap up with the Bengals.
Yeah.
They don't want to have
a big drive down there.
They don't have a big road trip before the start of the season.
They're breaking camp today, correct? That's
they
probably
why they
have
one more tomorrow morning.
Okay,
and that's open to the public, and that's going to go again early tomorrow, and then it's back to Indianapolis.
Yes. Okay.
So the Colts getting out of the dorms. That's always fun for everybody, isn't it? Thursday's practice, 8:30 a.m. It is open to the public. The Colts' practice today was cut short by the weather. That's Stephen Holder reporting from the Indianapolis Star. So, again, if you're not in school or your kids are at school and you want to go catch a practice, you can do it tomorrow morning. How'd you like to fight that traffic to get to Anderson at 8:30 in the morning?
No thanks.
No thanks is exactly right.
Just getting to Martinsville is hard enough anymore, let alone getting up I-69 from the northeast side of Indy to Anderson.
Colts schedule, taking a look at that. Terry and I aren't going to do much radio between here and there, so we'll spread it out for you to get – first three games, all 425ers. Not bad for a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. They must think that luck guy is going to be all right. Under center, they will host the Lions in week one. Calvin Johnson retired. Interesting there when you have one of the best playmakers for the last 10 years in the league. Hangs it up, said he's done, had enough. Barry Sanders did a very similar thing when he played for the Lions. So no telling what's going on up there. So you bring in the Lions, decent team. Then you head to the Broncos, the Peyton Manning-less Broncos. Who is their starting quarterback?
Is
it Mark Sanchez? He's the Sanchez. All right. Home for Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, and then the division battle begins the first Sunday in October. That's down to Jacksonville. That's a team that's really bothered the Colts over the last couple of years, and Jacksonville's been rebuilding. There are some people that think Jacksonville is going to make some serious noise this year because, number one, they got the big quarterback in Bortles. Number two, they got a great playmaker in Robinson on the outside, the wide receiver from Penn State, which IU fans saw catch about 400 passes during his Big Ten career. So it's interesting. First one's on the road. The part of me likes that, knowing that you've got a home one later. And if you can steal that first one, you're well up in the standings to get started, because they play their first three division games on the road. How about that? October 16th at Houston, October 23rd at Kansas City. So there's your October. Three of your first 4 weeks on the road in your division. You're going to figure out real quick. Maybe there's a reason people picked them to go 6-10. If this doesn't get off to the start you need, that record is not out of the realm of possibility.
They could start 5-0 before they play the Texans. Now, at Denver is always a tough game.
Right.
But let's put it this, with that defense, you're probably going to lose that one. You could, hey, if they're 4-1 against the Texans and happen to win that game, or they can beat the Titans, the Chiefs will be tough.
The Texans,
Packers
don't forget, they've beaten the Texans with or without Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
They're 19-1.
But you see that first 10 games right there is key.
It gets tougher.
Yes.
You've got five October Sundays. The final Sunday is hosting the Chiefs. And the Chiefs have been decent, as we've seen, over the last few years. And then it's to Green Bay to kick off November before the bye week. That's an interesting schedule. That is not easy at all, because here are your first five road games: at Denver, at Jacksonville, at the Texans, at the Titans, at the Packers. Imagine if they won the division, who they'd be playing.
Yeah, no kidding.
They didn't win the division, so you play all the second place teams in the opposite division rotations, which
They have the chance of coming out and going 4-1, 5-1, 6-2. Then that's great. But they come out of that first eight 4-4, 3-5, they've got trouble for the rest of the season.
6-10 doesn't sound so ridiculous, does it?
No.
After the bye week in November, the Titans, then the Steelers. Those are your two games in wrapping up November. Those are both home games, which will be very helpful.
Yes.
That's a nice break, because essentially you're getting 3 weeks in a row home. Before you go to the Jets, that's where the division helps you, because that would be the Patriots in any other year if you finish first in the division. So you skip them, and then it's home for the Texans. So you go bye week, home, home, away, home, and then you go to the Vikings on the 18th of December, the Raiders. You never know where either one of those teams are going to be. The Vikings put up a good fight at the end of last year.
Yes, they did.
They were in the playoff picture to what? Last day, did they make the playoffs? They didn't make the playoffs. Yes, they did. They made the playoffs. There was a crazy interception late in that game. They did make the playoffs. Jeez, we haven't watched any football in
seven
months.
It's been a while.
And then you wrap up with the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. Who knows how big that's going to be. I left the Texans out in there. So you get two of your last four. At home, it goes home, away, away, home. So the Colts, again, get those two final home games, but you hope that's not a little too late on that. If Andrew Luck stays healthy and this line holds together and you can find a way to slow somebody down on defense, remember, all new coordinators across the board. You got all new kinds of philosophy and everything happening there. Some of the pieces are there. Do the Colts have all the pieces? I don't think they do. I don't think the Colts are going to tell you they do either. That's the other point to figure out. So they're going to need to find some guys to step in and make some plays. And if they can do that, in Andrew Luck, you trust, because I think he's worth at least two or three wins in some of those games. We know how many fourth quarter comebacks he's had in his career. We know how many times he has pulled that team up by himself, whether it's been with his feet or with his arm, and given the Colts a chance to win. And that's what makes the NFL season awfully exciting. January 1st, yes, that is New Year's Day. That will be the final game of the 2016-17 NFL season. So how about that? We're ready to roll, and the Colts, again, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, right here on WGNC.
Ready for a little football.
We had it taken away from us last week. Bad paint job, baby. Bad paint job. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. All right, 6:33 WGCL. Terry and I will come back. We'll talk Hoosier football as well. Take a look at the Olympics. Indiana University racking up another medal. That's always exciting. The men's basketball team losing as we speak. Oh, my goodness. And we'll do some IU football as well. 6:33, you're in the zone. All right, 6:36 at WGCL. You're in the zone here on a Wednesday night, August 10th. There's Terry Stoltz.
We are here.
I'm Mike Glasgow. Thank you for being a part of it tonight. as we get you ready, our last time with you this week for the weekend. Let's put off IU football, Leanne. We did plenty of IU football on Monday with the Big Ten folks here. We kind of saw all that going on. Kevin John spoke yesterday after the scrimmage a little bit, just pointed out some competitions that they were happy to see in the wide receiving core. It's deeper. They think they don't have ones and twos. They think anybody they can throw in there, they can play. The one thing I took out of it was that, quote-unquote, Jayshon Harris is back. So that's,
I read that. That's
good news to hear because
– it gives you six strong wideouts.
And the other thing is he's shifty, and you like shifty guys that we saw what Shane Wynn could do, and I'm not going to blanket that comparison or say it's an exact replica, but when you have shifty guys that are hard to follow, hard to find, and have some pop to get away from the line of scrimmage, that allows you to tack in different directions. So the Hoosier receiving core, that's happy news as always. The more players you have, the more competition you have. Tell me how that can be bad for your football team. I don't see how that can possibly be
the
case.
No, you need playmakers. You need people to – you need depth for injuries. Yeah, and on and on and on. And it sounds – you know, we've got some new players. We've got some good depth developing on our defensive side, getting in some speed, a lot of speed on the defensive side, some big guys on both sides of the ball. You know, we'll glass this team right now, just whichever kid decides to step up and grab the quarterback role, we'll have a really, really good offense to run.
I think so, and I think the balance, just like we talked about with the Colts, Hoosiers want to be balanced as well. Can they find a running attack? Well, I don't think that's going to be a huge of a problem. You had Jordan Howard go for 2,000-yard backs last year. Heck, Howard missed the last four games of the season, three games of the season, whatever it was, and he still had kid crack 1,000 yards. So that's in place. You had Tevin Coleman crack 1,000 yards. Sure. I don't know if Devine Redding you're going to throw in there and say, well, he's the next NFL-type back. Well, that doesn't matter.
No.
It matters if you produce. Once you produce, the other stuff happens. And you've got Majette back there and some of the young kids are looking at. So if the offense stays balanced, Kevin Johns also mentioned in that interview that you don't have to ask your quarterback to win it. You have to have him manage it. And that's nothing wrong because when you're balanced and you're multiple, that makes you harder to defend. And the one thing they said, it's always been, hey, first thing we're going to do is figure out the lines and figure out how to run the football because that's the tale as old as time. And if you're going to sit back there and wing it and you throw three incomplete passes and you're out, then your defense can get stuck on the field for a while. And the Indiana needs that balance, obviously, on both sides of the ball there. The other issue is that it was kind of floating around, too, and the folks asked Coach Wilson about this, the tailgate tour, when you had the guys from the Big Ten Network, Dave Revson and Coach Jerry DiNardo and Howard Griffith. What do you think about the nine-game schedule? And, well, that is a tough one. The Big Ten no longer allows you to schedule the Indiana States, the North Dakota States of the world. It's now nine conference games and three others. So that's a strong, strong statement. And the math guys in the group, which Wilson is one of, said, hey, well, there's going to be a week then where our conference goes 7-7 because we're playing an extra game. And the math tells you that's absolutely true. Does that help anything? Does it help playing a tougher opponent down the road? Well, I think it'll help the computers when they go into who's going to be playing in the college football playoff.
That's just what I was going to say. That's all it is. It just makes the strength of schedule look better because the Big Ten's always considered a good football conference.
And the other downside to that is perhaps would be if you don't have a clear-cut favorite in your league. You have somebody – if Michigan beats Ohio State and Ohio State already beat Michigan State and Michigan State already beat Michigan, now you've got three. Then you have a conference game, but here's the problem. The conference game is going to be across that division. Mm-hmm. You're not playing the best team that's available in the Big Ten. You're playing the West champions. So there's that other angle that comes into all that. But do you get any better playing – I don't know. It seems like every week before the SEC has a big game, those teams play Nobody State and Stephen F. Austin and everything else. Does that help you because you can get rest in the middle of the season? I would think it has to because when you're in November, you've already played a handful of games, and then you get – it's not a bye week. You get a playing week, but you're going to win 72-0 and pay your $1 million for them to come in. Is that better? Is that worse? I don't know. Wilson seems to think it helps recruiting because when you play nine conference opponents, you're playing in the big stadiums, you're playing on big TV all the time, you're playing at good times, you're not being dictated perhaps by television. Competition's great. Those are good things. But it doesn't make it any easier. And the argument should be, Terry, does it need to be any easier? Or that's the rules? you got to go out and win football games.
You know, it's just
somebody's not going to want to, so you better beat the team that doesn't want to.
Well, there comes a certain time, like right now, and you said it earlier. Why is the USA basketball team even playing? It's time for the, you know, there was a time where the rest of the world, you know, gave us some good games occasionally. Even our NBA guys, you know, we don't have to send lesser talent. Everybody else needs to rise to our level. Well, Indiana needs to, you know, make themselves a better football team. And I think they did that.
So.
Yeah. They're trying. They did it last year. And I think they got a great chance of doing it again this year.
And in a tough league, there's no doubt about it. And playing those conference games doesn't help. In the sense on paper, but the game isn't played on paper. And we talked about this, I think, with Zach Osterman last week or the week before that. Kansas State found a way to do it.
Yes.
There was Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas. They were playing in a league that had three perennial football powers. Now, is Kansas State mentioned in that same breath to this date? No, but they had a really solid run for a while. And guess what happened? Their coach retires. They tried another way. Didn't work. He comes back. Guess what happens? They win again.
Northwestern's
been solid. Again, 10-win seasons, really, really good. Dave argued that could be the bar for IU football, especially in the division they play in. That's the tough side of the coin. On all of that, you don't have the unbalanced schedule anymore. You're going to play everybody in the East,
right?
And that's what's going to happen. And then you'll have some crossover games to save you Purdue, and that's it. But it is an interesting point. Because does it help you in the recruiting because you play better teams? Do you play in the big stadiums more often? Yeah, I think it does. It's not called the small 10. It's not called the medium 10. I've argued this before. It's called the big 10. There's 14 teams, so even the name's not big enough. Trying to shoehorn four more teams into the big 10. You got the big 14 in the big 10. Other teams are losing teams. Shrinking. Shrinkage in the big 12. What are they down to now? 8, 9, 10, who knows?
10, anyway.
That's the point. The point is, hey, you're going to be in a conference in a couple of years? You're going to be independent? Well, I know that's not Indiana's natural recruiting ground, but that's, you look at the Big Ten, it screams of two things, stability and cash. I'm not sure in which order, but you got both of those things. And when you've got 110,000 seats at Penn State, you got 105,000 at Ohio State, and you got 115 or whatever it is at Michigan, another 80 here and another 85 here. That's big boy football.
Let's
so
go.
You better beat somebody.
It's where I want to be.
That's it. That's exciting. And again, the Hoosiers trying to put it together, seeing more depth, seeing more talent. Now you got to do it on the field because again, just like the Colts, just like anybody else, games are not won on the depth chart. The games are not won in the film room. Coach Wilson talked about it. He said we've been close. We've played great for 2.5 quarters. We've been there. We haven't finished. Our next project is we've got to get over the hump. No point in talking about how close we've been. That's what you do. You come here to win games and compete for championships. And should it be easy? No. And that's part of the struggle that makes it fun because if it does happen, well, that's what's the interesting part. If you can go up there against those guys, knock it around with them for a little bit, and maybe get one break, just once a century. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, that's
right. We don't need to get every pass interference call or with a guy's down, you call the fumble, whatever it is. Can we get one break once in a blue moon? That would be great. We would enjoy that highly. Make your own breaks. Get after it. Recruit better. Coach better. Film harder. Teammate better. All that stuff. I agree. And hopefully the Hoosiers have a big season and continue that momentum they found last year. But again, each season's a brand new season. The Olympics are up and rolling tonight in Rio. Every night right here on WGCL starting at 10 o'clock. Terry and I will take you through a busy day yesterday, busy day today, and another busy night to come as well. 6:45, you're in the zone on WGCL. 1 final time on a Wednesday night. Glass and Terry with you in the zone. Dave's on vacation, enjoying the coastal waters of the United States of America. Surf's up, dude. Let's go surfing now.
I'd love to see him on a surfboard.
Everybody's...
Hopefully he's getting a little golf in, too.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
That's
something
close
like
enough.
That. Sad news in the broadcast world today. National broadcast news. John Saunders of ESPN, been there 31 years, passed away unexpectedly this morning at the age of 61, says his family. And if you watch SportsCenter, if you watch the sports reporters. Hockey coverage, basketball, NBA, the whole nine yards, he was just a guy that somebody tweeted this, and it hit me because it made sense. When you saw John Saunders on, everything was okay. It was good. You know, it wasn't some kind of sham, we're going to yell at each other program. You knew it wasn't going to be. He was kind of the voice of reason to a degree, and it kind of made events feel a little bit bigger. You know, when he was doing hockey coverage, you know, hockey felt a little bit bigger. Now, the sports reporters, you want to tell me Lupica's a clown? He is a clown. Lupica's a clown. It doesn't matter whoever you put in front of Lupica is going to be a clown anyhow. But John Saunders, yeah, unexpectedly passing away today, and it's the tributes – always come hot and heavy when someone hasn't been sick. Well, you know, if someone's sadly in that phase of their life, that's different. But again, just to see how many lives he's affected, people that young guys at ESPN, young gals at ESPN. Say Steele's a great example. She was tweeting about how much he helped her out at an early age. Just a sad news because, let's be fair, ESPN didn't get to be a trillion-dollar, billion-dollar corporation with nobody watching. Most of you, you're a sports fan, you know exactly who John Saunders is, and you probably were shocked when you heard about it this morning. So, well, wait, was he? The first thing I did is, like, was he sick? Did I miss that? No, he wasn't. And that's always the no fun part of that either. I mean, if someone is ill, that's one thing. But, again, thoughts and prayers to all going on with John Saunders' family at this very difficult time and all of that. The Olympics, Terry, are up and rolling. I know it's a tough transition to make. You don't want to just pass on John there, but sadly but goodly, life goes on. And the swimming pool is where the Indiana Hoosiers have seen some action. The diving pool as well. When we left you on Monday night, Lily King was getting ready to swim for gold and took care of business.
Oh, man.
Did
she
ever. Taking care of her Russian friend. In that, Lily King will be back tonight. She made it. She is the 15th of 16th qualifiers for the 200-meter breaststroke. And the reason we're telling you this is the Twitterverse has told all of us who are non-swimming followers, this isn't her big event. Don't expect another huge miracle. But I don't know. She might be on that high right now, Terry, where I don't want to say riding the wave. That sounds too much like a swimming pun, but could she surprise again? You've been around swimming for some parts of your life. Is it possible to be Cody Miller in the 15th seed and all of a sudden get a bronze medal? She obviously has the talent to do so.
I watched a gentleman last night that was on lane 8.
Yes.
From the United States that has always been a favorite in the event. And let me just tell you, lane 8 means that you were last.
That's right.
And your qualifications.
Clear water out there, too.
And the thing is, if you don't get ahead of the pack and from lane 8, you get buried in their way.
Oh, you get buried? So
yeah. It makes it harder.
You get clean water.
Anyway, he didn't. He won easily. With her mindset and watching what she did the other night and how she's conducted, don't count her out.
But again, this is not her.
No.
This is not her.
Well, she won the NCAA with this. She won the Olympic trials in this one. So
yes, but this is not her premium event.
No. It will. Yeah.
And her Russian friend, I believe, qualified 7th or 8th or 9th, somewhere in the middle of the pack on all that. So
stroke's hard enough stroke as it is, and then you add a little distance to it, and it does get tough. Doesn't matter. She's the star, although Michael's going to end up being the star of the swimming. She's done great. I hope she makes the finals. And then once you get to the finals, Glass, anything can happen.
Have you ever seen – you're a little bit more experienced than I am. That's why I'll throw this at you. Have you ever seen –
That means I'm old, folks.
That does mean you're old, but you've been around, so you've seen more things than I have. And Michael Phelps now has 21 gold medals, 14 individual gold medals. Well, there's two things in that just blow you away. I talked about this morning, but I think the point still stands. The great photo of Mark Spitz on all the magazines holding his 7 gold medals from one Olympics, I know it's fantastic, and I'm not even worried if anybody's beaten that or not.
But well, Phelps did it.
He did.
In 2008, he got 8.
He got 8. And then since then, usually, as we saw with Spitz, you get to maybe a peak, and you don't see guys, Matt Biondi, some of these other great names you've heard, that extend over – Phelps was at the Olympics 16 years ago as a 15-year-old kid. He made the butterfly final.
He was the oldest person to ever win an individual gold last night.
So the second point is he has seven other gold medals, and we're not even talking about the rest of his medals. Seven other golds. So he's been on some good relay teams as well. Obviously, American swimming is where it's at to some degree. But to have that hall of medals, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that he was on the Olympics when he was 15. You hear about the one wonder kid or whatever that happens. But then at 24, they're done. Or at 28, they're really done. And here he is at 31. You can cup all day. You can cup as much as a guy going up to Trump Tower right now. And how is that?
Very nice.
How does that work? What keeps him young? I mean, he quit. Well, he said after the London Games, I'm done. See you later. So he takes some time off and just gets back in the pool? That's unbelievable.
He had a life-altering experience after another DUI. Went into a very dark period, went into some rehab.
Not the only one that's done that.
No. But what he did was, kind of wake himself up, pull himself. You talk about people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps.
Had a baby,
and
did all that stuff.
Just decided that's it. He hasn't drank since that night.
Yeah. I'm not doing Subway commercials anymore. I'm not doing Nike commercial. Whatever it was, he's not doing any of it.
And he's dedicated himself to getting in shape. I heard a thump the other day. I thought he said he's in better shape now than in London in 2012. And after he got away from it and looked, he wasn't happy with London. He's not done, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys are talking? Not 31, he's done. I'll write that one down.
He's done after this.
He's not done in this Olympics.
No, he's
game,
done. I really believe he will win the 200 IM. Oh, that'll be the hardest. And the 100 flies a no-brainer, and a couple of relays. But
there you go.
He's just
get him a new wheelbarrow.
And he had some. The bear got poked again yesterday.
Dumb.
And he showed what happens when you poke the bear. As I tweeted, tugging on Superman's cape.
Well, why don't you just why don't you beat him first, then talk? I guess same with the Russian. Go beat him first and do it. That's their problem. That kid didn't even medal for us.
Gonna be a fun night again tonight.
South Africa got beat so bad in the breaststroke. Didn't even get on the medal platform. Speaking of getting beat. Australia 54, USA 49, halftime of men's basketball. Don't hold your breath. It won't last, but
no.
It would be the upset of the century, no doubt about it. Congratulations, Michael Hixon. Silver medal, 3-meter woo-hoo. Springboard synchronized. That's another one for Indiana University. That brings the total to Blake Peroni, Cody Miller, Lily King, and now Michael Hixon. So great stuff there. Have a great weekend. Colts football Saturday night at 7. Stay tuned for NBC Sports next.